Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Saquon, pretty ridiculous.
What a killer. Holy smokes.
That was one of those plays where you can see the dominance of the Eagles' offensive line, but also the individual brilliance of Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, both things can be true.
Because, you know, DeAndre Swift, we brought this up a lot on Jones and Keefe over the last few weeks, talking about Saquon Barkley and, oh, it's just the Eagles' offensive line and
Miles
the importance
Sanders,
of running backs and any
guys.
Back can do it. Sanders, another good one.
No, he should have been tackled like five times
on
that play.
DeAndre Swift would have picked up the first 12, 15 yards because the Eagles blocked it, and it was a great play call by Kellen Moore. But to spin out of that and take it 60 yards to the house and do it every single week?
His spin moves are nuts. He goes like he gets faster when he spins, which you shouldn't really do.
No, it's true. It's those big quads, Keith.
He's got massive quads. That team leads the league in quads. Between he and Hurts, squatting 800 pounds.
It is Quad City. The Quad City DJs, I think, is what they should rename that team.
Quadzilla. Yeah, these guys look good out there.
But, no, it's the reason I think ultimately I'm talking myself into rooting for the Eagles, as hard as that is.
Because it's Saquon.
Saquon's
very likable.
I saw Andy Hart, WEI Afternoons, come your way at 2 o'clock. I saw him tweeting about this. He's like, could Saquon be any more likable?
No.
Saquon's very likable. And I also I'm pro running backs, and I've been pro running back for a long time, and he's a really, really, really high-end example of it. But I think you said this on Thursday or Friday last week, Keith. It'd be nice to have an example of a team that their best player was their running back. Hurts, I think, is good. Top 10, top 12, top 15, somewhere in there. But he's not an elite quarterback. And to add him in the offseason, put the team over the top in a rematch with the Chiefs from a few years ago, that'd be a good one for us pro running back people out there.
I knew someone that went to Penn State, same time Saquon Barkley. You know what they said about him?
I don't know. Penn State? What'd they say?
Great guy.
Oh, good.
Yeah, great guy.
Good, good, good.
No, he's easy to root for, and it's still Philadelphia, so like that makes it impossible. But then when you're going up against Kansas City, you're like, what on earth? Like this is sort of a lose-lose in many ways, where like Philadelphia wins another Super Bowl. I guess that probably stings a little bit less.
Oh, I don't like it, but
it's
I'm rooting
less than
for
Kansas City.
Correct. I'm rooting for it more than KC. Yeah.
I guess that's what you. I guess that's what you. What you have to do.
That's where.
No,
I come
but on
down.
An individual level, I mean, this guy ran for 2,000 yards. That doesn't happen every year, right? So there are great offensive lines all the time. There are what we think are great running backs all the time, but they don't run for 2,000. And think about how many games he didn't even really play in the fourth quarter or get many carries in the fourth quarter. He was like Ashton Jeanty. Like he probably could have had 2,500 yards rushing if they really needed him every single game.
He could have played in week 18, the 17th
game
of the year.
The last game.
He didn't, which I give him credit for hitting 2016 games. There were games this year where he sat down and he could have gone for, you know, like the Eagles franchise record or maybe his own personal record. I forget. Maybe it's even the individual game rushing record. He's like, no, let, you know, Will Shipley and Kenneth Gainwell run it out. So no, I find him to be very likable and easy to root for. And that takes some of the sting out of rooting for Philadelphia. All right, you got to hold your nose and root for somebody. I would root for Philly, given the circumstances.
I know you hate the tush push more than
I do.
I do. It's obviously, you know, pretty ridiculous, and they get it almost every single time. What did you make of the sequence when they had it down the goal line and the Commanders just kept leapfrogging the pile to the point?
Frankie Louvu, is that his name?
Love it. Yeah. I don't think it should be illegal, but I also think, listen, it's pretty tough to go up against. Do whatever you can to stop it. And if that means trying to jump the snap every single time, do it. And it was hilarious because in the booth, just before the ref said it on the field, they were like, well, if this keeps up, they can award a team a touchdown, which I didn't know was a rule.
I didn't know either. And then Sean Hockley, like 30 seconds later, comes on and he's like, oh, yeah, they've been warned. We can give them a touchdown.
And I feel like that probably should be the rule, because I've thought about this before. When the ball's on the one, or it's like on the half-yard line or the inch line, and it's first down, right? If it's third or fourth down, obviously you're not going to jump off like a maniac. But if it's first down, what on earth is stopping you from trying to jump the snap every time? Turns out there's this rule buried in the rule book that says they can award a touchdown. My next thought was, who gets the touchdown? You know, it can't be a team touchdown.
Yeah,
do you give it to the quarterback?
How do you award that?
For betting purposes, who gets it?
Team touchdown.
Didn't happen. But I kind of love the Commanders being like, we're just going to jump over this thing and dive off sides all the time. And Philadelphia's like, we're just going to keep doing it.
I also would like having in my back pocket, the refs gave the other team a touchdown. It's like, they never actually scored.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about getting a good, you know who got a better whistle than KC yesterday? Philly.
Yeah.
And I'm not crying about the lead being in the bag for the Eagles, but
Washington also couldn't hold on to the ball.
No, that's their problem. No, I mean, the Eagles should have won either way. I'm not saying the refs gave the game. I'm just saying every bang-bang call, every single one went in favor of Philly yesterday. That's all. It's a good whistle. Sometimes you get a good whistle. The Chiefs get it every week. I acknowledge
that.
They do. But sometimes you get a good whistle. Real quick, we're going to get deeper into these coming up. I want to get to Josh McDaniels and... Well, some pushback on how successful he'll be and whether or not he's the right fit for Drake May. The Patriots made two more hires.
All right.
Doug Marrone is going to be their offensive line coach. He coached the Jaguars to an AFC title game against the Patriots in 2018. What year was that?
Yeah, was it
2016?
18? No, 18 was the Chiefs game.
No, you're right. I'm sorry. 26,
so 2017?
Oh, is it the year they lost? Maybe that's right.
No.
Whatever.
Yeah. 17.
Bortles to an AFC title game.
I think it might have been 17. But it's pretty amazing when you look at what the Patriots staff was a year ago to what it is now. Like, Gerard Mayo needed all the help he could get, and they didn't help him out at all.
It's crazy.
Now you look at Mike Vrabel, who's already an established head coach, has an offensive coordinator who's done it for 20 years. He has a defensive coordinator who, although never been a coordinator, he's been in the NFL for a significant period of time. And now you have an offensive line coach who was a head coach in the NFL.
Doug Marrone.
That's pretty good.
Has been hired. That's according to Mike Reese. And Tom Pelissero reports they're also hiring Thomas Brown as their tight ends coach, pass game coordinator. They interviewed him as offensive coordinator. He was the interim head coach at the end of last year for Chicago.
That?
He was their play caller. So you're getting veteran coaches on the staff, which to your point, you're right.
Would you call it a dream team staff?
I wouldn't call it that. Right. But they're giving Vrabel the help that Mayo probably needed last year.
Definitely needed.
So, good. And I'm sure these guys aren't cheap. But, you know,
a whole new staff. You're paying
McDaniels
the last staff.
Is cheapish,
you're paying this staff.
Yeah.
That's something.
But that's a good sign for ownership and everybody else. So we'll get deeper into this coming up. 617-779-7937. Bunchy waiting patiently to weigh in on the Super Bowl matchup. Chiefs and the Eagles both got a good whistle yesterday. Chiefs seem to get it every week. The refs' impact on it. And again, with the matchup now set in Super Bowl 59, do you think the Eagles have a real shot? We'll get to it with your phone calls next.